Welcome, Jacqueline.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me.
So our session today is all about how NICE and HTA generally will manage future challenges. But let's look to the past for a moment. What would you cite as an example of a methodological challenge that NICE has successfully addressed in recent years?
Yeah, I think I probably would say the use of real-world evidence in appraisals, and specifically the publication of the real-world evidence framework, which NICE published in 2022. I think for many years we've seen a lot of debate about the potential real-use evidence, but concerns about it as well, especially the concern that it might replace the use of randomized controlled trials in HTA. And I think what we've actually seen with the use of real-world evidence in appraisal specifically is that we're seeing really good use of real-world evidence, and I think that the publication of the real-use evidence framework has really actually helped increase the quality of the type of real-world evidence we see, both in terms of data quality, but as well as the type of analysis that is used to analyze the data and produce good quality evidence. And we monitor the use of methods since we introduced the new methods manual in 2022. So we're monitoring how our methods are being used in appraisals, and we're seeing really good uptake of real-world evidence. So it's being used in most appraisals these days. We're seeing it being used in as primary evidence as well, if and where it is appropriate. So I think that that is a methodological challenge where I feel like we actually have a pretty good understanding now about what best practice is. We've defined it, and hopefully it's clear to all of our stakeholders as well.
So, in th thinking about the increase in the use of real world evidence and improvements in the way that real world evidence is used within NICE, how do you think that this has impacted on NICE's decision making? How has it changed the way decisions are made? And how do you think it will impact decision making in future?
Great question. I think in terms of how it influences decision making, I think that we're still seeing loads of appraisals where actually RCTs, randomized controlled trials, are still being used and used as primary evidence. But I think especially in those types of appraisals where that randomized evidence just isn't available, I think it has really helped that has really helped our committees to, as well as companies, to still put forward a case for adoption of a certain technology. And so I think it using kind of a broader evidence base and considering different types of evidence, I think helps us make recommendations even in those situations where kind of the highest form of evidence or good quality evidence just isn't available. Because whether we have great evidence or very little evidence available, we still have to make recommendations. So I think that that's how it's probably influenced us. So I think it puts us in a better position to assess the evidence, assess the case for a certain technology, and still be able to make recommendations.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So clearly NICE has had some successes with these developments in methodology. Are there any methodological challenges that you think HTA agencies in general, or NICE in particular, have really struggled to deal with?
There's probably a couple, but I would say that so I spend a lot of time in appraisal committee, so I see a lot of kind of the not just the evidence that is presented, but also the deliberation side of things. And I think the biggest challenge that we still have is related to how we deal with uncertainty in the evidence. And uncertainty can be because of different things. Sometimes it's just because the evidence that ideally we would see, we would like to have just doesn't exist. Sometimes there is evidence, but we see a lot of variation. Sometimes the quality of the evidence just isn't very good. So how committees can factor in that uncertainty and weigh that against all sorts of other considerations that they have to deal with as well, I think is probably still what sometimes can really take a significant amount of time, and where we see that it can be difficult to only solve this in a methodological way, because we have many methods that allow us to characterize uncertainty, that allow us to assess what the value of additional gathering more evidence would be. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure whether it is a challenge that can completely be solved kind of in a technological way. I think at the end of the day, this is where I think kind of careful deliberation also plays a really key role. And how do you weigh that uncertainty as well as the decision risk that comes with it against other considerations, such as ensuring that patients get access to potentially effective treatments, and those types of considerations. And I think that that's an area where there might be more that we can do, but that's probably, I think, the biggest challenge that I see in a kind of a day-to-day basis.
Who would you like to see driving developments in that space in relation to uncertainty? So I get that it's probably only partly a technical solution that's needed, but would you like to see health economists, researchers driving this, or is this something that you think needs to be driven from within HTA agencies themselves?
I think probably HTA agencies themselves can and should do a bit more about this, and in explaining. And when I look at NICE, for example, I think one of the things that we that can be difficult sometimes to understand is, because our appraisal committees often take place in public, and we aim to be as transparent as we possibly can, but the decision-making part of appraisal committees take place in private. So that is not something that many people, other than the people on the committee, can really see how those factors get weighed. And especially when there is a lot of uncertainty, kind of the weight that gets put on the uncertainty of the effort in the evidence versus kind of all the other considerations, I think is something that we probably could do a better job at agencies at explaining how the decision making part works. So what does deliberation actually mean? What are the factors that are being considered? I think we've already done quite some work within NICE to be more explicit about kind of that framework that is being used in the decision making part, but it probably is something where HTA agencies themselves could do more as well, because I think at the end of the day, it although there are it's a methodological it can it kind of is a methodological challenge. I'm not sure whether the solution is purely methodological.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And thinking about a bit of a segue here, thinking about making things more explicit, the introduction of NICE's severity modifiers is an interesting example of HTA methods change, which doesn't just relate to changes in NICE, but within HTA more broadly. Could you provide us with a bit of an overview of the impact so far of this change to NICE's methods, and perhaps think about some of the challenges going forward in its application?
Yeah, so we introduced the severity modifier in 2022, so as part of the new method. I wonder how long we can refer to it as the new methods manual, given that it's now been more than a year. But the new methods manual, and it replaced the end of life modifier that was part of NICE methods before then. And we, so as I said previously, so we monitor kind of implementation of the methods manual, including the number of topics where the severity modifier is being used. So the way that the modifier works is that it looks at proportionate shortfall as well as at absolute shortfall as a measure of kind of disease burden. And for certain technologies, if they meet certain cutoffs for the proportionate and absolute shortfall, then they get a quality weighting. So we have two weightings. So there's a weighting of 1.2 and a weighting of 1.7. So it doesn't mean that we increase the threshold, but effectively a quality weighting will have a similar effect in the analysis. And we've had, now that we've seen the first year of topics going through committee meetings using the new methods manual, what we are seeing is that kind of a mixed picture. I think what is really positive to see is that we are seeing the severity modifier being applied in non-cancer topics. So whereas the end-of-life modifier was pretty much exclusively used for cancer topics only, and I think that was one of the reasons why we felt that a change to the end-of-life modifier was needed. So the fact that we're now seeing non-cancer topics benefit from the severity modifier, I think is really positive. But we're seeing a more of a mixed picture in the absolute number of topics where the severity modifier is being used, both 1.2 as well as 1.7. So as part of the consultation that NICE did when we were planning to introduce the new methods manual, we anticipated that the proportion of topics where we expected that we would see the severity modifier being used, and what we're seeing in the first year of implementation of the manual, that actually that number is lower than we anticipated. So what we're doing at the moment is that we're investigating why that is, and depending on the reason for why that is, we might do more work this year on looking into the and reviewing the severity modifier. So that's kind of where things are at the moment with the severity modifier.
It's encouraging to hear that there's an ongoing kind of review process and consideration into the future, and that it's not just a change that's going to apply indefinitely in a fixed way. So that's really interesting. Thinking now very much about the future and NICE's future, what kinds of new technologies do you think are on the horizon that really could require changes in HTA processes or HTA methods? I'm thinking the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think all sorts of technology potentially. I think especially thinking about the next 10 years and the rate of innovation that we have seen in recent years, with the number of gene therapies that we're now seeing quite routinely in appraisals. There's quite a lot in terms of what might, especially thinking about stuff that might require changes to HTA processes. Something that I've been personally interested in the last year is it's a concept called shared molecular etiologies, and it specifically applies to rare diseases. And it essentially makes the assumption that a lot of rare diseases share some kind of common molecular etiology or mechanism that potentially is therapeutically actionable. So what that means is that you can essentially use a histology independent concept to drug development, but in rare diseases. So you could use a basket trial approach to study a certain technology in a range of different rare conditions, but that share some kind of common underlying etiology. And what that means, I think that would be really challenging when you think about the potential heterogeneity that would give you in your evidence, if you would be looking at a basket trial with a bunch of different rare conditions, but that all seem to respond to the same technology. That would be really challenging to assess. Yeah, at the same time, especially in rare diseases, And when we're talking about small populations, it would be commercially really challenging to develop technologies for those types of conditions. So it could actually really address the lack of technologies and the lack of kind of innovation that we've seen for certain rare diseases. So I think it's something that as kind of an HTA community, we probably should try and really address some of those challenges and see how we can better deal with that kind of extreme heterogeneity and evidence that we might well see coming to our agencies in the next 10 years.
That's a big one. Hopefully, the researchers on the line will take that as a call to arms and invest time in that challenge. So, in our last few seconds, I'm going to ask you a tricky question about the value of HTA. So, this is something that I think policymakers are increasingly curious about. So, quite simply, I guess, overall, what do you think, what would you say is the value of HTA to healthcare systems?
That's a really big question. I would say that I think HTA healthcare systems offer a way to kind of genuinely try and assure that finite resources are being used in an efficient way. And I think that it might not necessarily be a methodology that is perfect, but I think it is a generally good and honest attempt at trying to do that, which I think as a health economist, I can only kind of get behind as a concept. I think in terms of how that evolves, I think we're seeing a lot of pushback, I think, especially in the US on using those types of approaches, specifically the use of the quality and cost effectiveness analysis, seems to be considered controversial. And I think within NICE, I think one of the challenges for us as an agency is that we're expecting the number of drug approvals to increase in the next 5 years. So how we accommodate doing HTA for everything that comes through the system in a way that still enables us to do that, but probably in a more proportionate way. So how do we take more proportionate approaches for things that might be relatively high risk or where the case for adoption is really clear, and make sure that we use a more proportionate approach to how we evaluate technologies, I think is a real challenge for us and something that we're actively working on.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.